This fall's midterm elections will decide which party controls the Senate and House of Representatives. To get a sense of what people are talking about, what moves their emotions, and what will shape their opinions going into the November elections, NPR's Juan Williams is visiting five states along the Mississippi River. His reports will run on Fridays for the next 5 weeks. He begins today in Minnesota.
The mighty, mythic Mississippi River starts in the far reaches of the Itasca National Forest. Here in northern Minnesota, it's a surprise to see that the Great River starts out as little more than a gurgling stream. But it was in Minnesota that Native Americans, the Chippewa, christened it Mississippi, meaning big water. The Mississippi has always flowed through the American imagination, from Indian canoes to Huck Finn's raft and riverboats carrying slick gamblers. The river has carried people, news, war, and commerce from fur traders to wheat barges. As it goes through Minnesota, the river caresses forests, farms, small towns, and big cities. The river and its landscape are ever-changing, but it's always very close to the people of the state, even as they are changing. In Minnesota, the legacy of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Walter Mondale, and the Farm Labor Party is now fading. There are fewer family farms, and the suburbs are growing rapidly. In 2002, the river running through this state touches a body politic almost evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans. And there are independents and Green Party voters, too, in the mix, creating a cross-current that can be as contrary as the river itself. Steve Scheer, a political science professor at Carleton College, considers himself a student of Minnesotans' nature.
We're talking the prototypical Scandinavian Lutheran, the guy who loved his wife so much he almost told her.
Beyond their renown for being emotionally reserved, Minnesotans are known as issue-oriented voters.
You've got a lot of people moving from other parts of the state to the suburban ring, and also a lot of people coming from out of state into the suburban ring. They tend to be professionals. They don't necessarily have a strong party identification. They're your typical swing voters, and they add an element of volatility.
The Mississippi changes, too, as it rolls from the Minnesota farmland to the big cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis. The calm at the river's woodland source is now a roar as it races over the massive Lock and Dam No. 1 in Minneapolis. Locks here make it possible for large barges to travel up and down the river. Lockmaster Jim Ryan watches life on the river, even when Minnesota's cold weather changes the river to a sheet of ice by late October.
We've got only 12 people that work here. Everybody's got like a 401k. Comes to money, that's number one topic for everybody.
A little farther along the river, in St. Paul, is Muffaletta's Restaurant, named for the cheese and ham dish associated with the city at the other end of the Mississippi River, New Orleans. A dinner conversation with Patricia Lopez, a political writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, covers the waterfront. She wrote stories about scandalous parties that Governor Jesse Ventura's son had at the governor's mansion, and she has watched President Bush's two recent visits to the state to support Republican Norm Coleman's bid to unseat two-term Democrat Senator Paul Wellstone.
You know, we had so many boom years where people became accustomed to Minnesota not just doing well, but doing far better than the national average. And yet this recession has actually hit this state harder than the rest of the country on the whole. You know, people that are retired are watching their savings go to nothing. People that are about to retire are nervous as hell. You know, people that are middle-aged are thinking they're going to have to work forever. There is an enormous amount of pent-up rage over this issue.
Coleman is a former Democrat and former mayor of St. Paul. He favors tax cuts and good schools. He's best known locally for luring people back to St. Paul's waterfront.
St. Paul, by the way, the city that I had a chance, opportunity to lead for 8 years, has more Mississippi riverfront and bluff than any city on the Mississippi. And I don't believe there's any place in St. Paul that's more than 3.1 miles from the Mississippi.
At an airfield just a stone's throw from the river, Coleman last week attacked Wellstone as a man who had tried to dismantle the U.S. military before September 11th.
Senator Wellstone has been wrong on national security and defense issues for his almost entire time in the United States Senate. The contrast between Senator Wellstone and myself on these issues is day and night. And we've got a lot of contrast in this race. We got contrast on welfare reform, and we got contrast on trade opportunities, and we got contrast on this issue.
Later, in the quiet of a room inside an airplane hangar, Coleman said Wellstone is out of step with the changing realities of Minnesota. But Wellstone has built a base among the state's 10% non-white population of Black and Hispanic Americans, as well as Asian and African immigrants. Wellstone also has labor unions, old-style progressives, and strong support from contributors outside the state. In Minnesota, Wellstone's liberal base is upset that the conservative newcomers are changing the state's politics so fast. At a party in Minneapolis, young people, mostly Wellstone supporters, are resisting what they see as the tides washing away Minnesota's political traditions.
Gregory Gray, I would agree with you. I think there is a group of folks in another household somewhere, probably out in the suburbs, who have a different set of values. And I think the question in this election is going to be the future of Minnesota. What vision do we as Minnesotans have for this state?
In his Washington office, Senator Wellstone sees the race as key to the future of the nation's politics.
I think people realize that there's a lot at stake, and there is. I mean, it's control of the Senate, it's future direction of the Supreme Court, it's Roe v. Wade. And more importantly than that, it's like, you know, decisions are going to be made that are going to affect the quality or lack of quality of our lives and our children. Sheila and I have six grandchildren, our grandchildren's lives. And what are you going to continue to have these Robin Hood reverse tax cuts, more of them, or are we going to invest in kids and education and health care?
Despite the worry about jobs, the unemployment rate here is below the national average. It's the one state in the region with a growing population.
It's certainly changed somewhat, but it's the labels. I don't know whether people are left, right, or center, or whether people just, I think more than anything, people want a politics that if they think you're authentic and they believe in you and they trust you, they think you work hard for them and have some understanding of, you know, our people say understanding of our lives and our children's lives, then I think that's how you win. If they don't, then you don't win.
There's a local custom that says a drop of water at Lake Itasca takes 90 days to run the length of the Mississippi River and reach New Orleans. That's just about how long it will take to see if Republicans can find the one seat they need to reclaim the Senate. Will it be here in Minnesota or somewhere down the river? Juan Williams, NPR News, St. Paul.